I bet you'd like to know what chapter. There's only 28 of them. So we're going to start at 1 and go out. No, I'm playing around. Matthew chapter 28 is where we're going to go. Last week was all about the resurrection. Jesus come forth from the grave, amen. And we're going to discuss a little of that. Chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, the Bible says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity, this great privilege we have to be able to come to your house to worship you, to hear the preaching of the word, and Lord, that we can do it freely. Lord, there's so many out there that can't. And Lord, we need to be thankful in our hearts that we're able to come and do this without any type of fear. Lord, we do ask in a special way that you would be with each person here today, speak to their hearts as you would have. And Lord, we ask if there is one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that, Lord, they would come to know you today. Any, Lord, within the sound of my voice, this goes out on the internet and it goes to many countries and many states, that, Lord, through this message from the Lord, that they would be sweetly saved and that they would be encouraged. Lord, I ask you to hide me behind that cross. It has nothing to do with me. It's all about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And these things I ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You ever been depressed, discouraged, been in doubt, perplexed? I've been through all of them here lately. And I'll be honest with you, it's not fun. But I want us to, we're going to focus on a verse here in a moment. But after Jesus gave the command to go and preach the gospel, he ascended into heaven. Now when you read in the book of Matthew and this passage, if you look at it, it's almost, well, it all of a sudden you're like, well, wait a minute. They all met with him on a hill. But when you read all the gospels that I've told you before, you've got to put those gospels together. Because you'll find out that Jesus had appeared to them before he gave this great commission, as we call it. Jesus had appeared to them in Galilee. He had appeared to them in the upper room. He had appeared to them on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to them on the Sea of Galilee. And now he's on a hill in Galilee. And this was probably about 40 days after his resurrection, right in that area. Now, these were his last words. Last words are important. When somebody's giving you their last words, they're about to pass away, or as in Jesus' case, he was about to go to heaven. They're important. You remember those things. And we need to remember those things. He gave them that great command that we call the Great Commission. And it's for us to go out and tell others about Christ. And when they get saved, to bring them into the church and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. But also to teach them. To give them the understanding of these things. But there's something else in this verse that really jumped out at me and what I want to focus on this morning. And really it's where the message comes. And I jotted it all down on this paper. And and we'll get to this in a moment, but there's a song that I really love to hear that while I was praying about getting my message, the Lord brought that song to me. And I hadn't listened to it in a while, so it just kind of popped in my head, and I'm like, wow, because you can ask my wife. I was a little on the depressed side coming home yesterday, and I wasn't the best company. Even when I got home last night, although I was glad to be back in Henderson. They got way too much green down there. Man, everywhere you look, it's green. I'm like, and listen, they have what they call bugs. They even have mosquitoes. Anybody know what a mosquito is? You born and raised here, it's hard to say what a mosquito is. But in Hot Springs, Arkansas, they're about that big. They're huge. They come by, they sound like a B-52 bomber. You know, man, they're in Mississippi. Sound like a big Huey coming in. they're rough. But I noticed something in verse 17, and it made me think about this, really. It says, let's start verse 16 again. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. He'd already talked to them. I don't know how many times. I didn't figure all that up. But they doubted. They saw him. They worshiped him. And you'd think, well, that was enough. But Matthew added in, but some doubted. You won't find this in Luke or John. Now, you'll find something similar to this, and we'll get to that in Mark. But it says some doubted, and I looked in the dictionary. And the English language is kind of messed up. You know, and I don't even speak it well. I speak Southern, and it's kind of hard. But the English language really is messed up, because if you think about it, all the other languages, Spanish, Greek, Hebrew, they've got words for every little thing. We got read, red, red. Now, somebody tell me what read, red, red is. There's a R-E-D, I'm going to read it. There's a R-E-A-D, R-E-A-D, I'm going to read it. R-E-A-D, I've read it. And there's R-E-D, it's the color. but other languages are different. So I got to looking into this. The word translated doubted here is, and don't laugh at me when I pronounce these Greek words, distazo, which... it's only used in the book of Matthew, and it's only used twice. Two times that word is used in the entire Bible, and both times were in Matthew. It was in this verse and also in verse 31 of chapter 14, which was when Peter was walking on water. And this word doubted means hesitate or waver. And so I've got to looking at that, and I'm like, and when they saw him for how many umpteenth time, Even Thomas, and apparently he was there. We know what Thomas did. All of them looked, went to the grave and looked. And he shows up, walks through a wall, sits down, eats fish with them. But they still wavered. They still doubted about what they were seeing. They were still hesitant to believe in what was going on. Now, the other word in the New Testament is used a lot that in our English language says doubt. It's diaporeo. And it means perplexed. That one's used, the best one to explain is Peter. Peter's laid up on a top of a house, relaxing, waiting on dinner in Joppa. And all of a sudden he gets this vision of the sheep with all this unclean meat on there and stuff that a Jew ain't supposed to touch. It says he was perplexed. In other words, he realized what it was, but he was confused with it. They were not confused when they saw Jesus all these times. They wavered. They still hesitated. And by the way, in the same instance of this happening over in Mark 16:14, we won't go there, but it says Jesus upbraided them for their unbelief. Now, let me give you that in Southern lingo. He scolded them because they weren't believing. You ever doubted about things? Again, I'm asking. You ever doubted about what Jesus can do for you? What he has done for you? What he will do for you? And if you sit here and tell me, no, I'm dead set on it, you're lying. And you're in church. You ought to be ashamed. Because you're a human being. And you ain't no more righteous than I am. And listen. We've all been through that. And it's what the Lord laid on my heart, because I'm in the same sense with Chino Valley. I'm perplexed, but I'm also in the other doubt as well. I waver in it, and I'm like, oh, and I do the same here. And then when I pray and I talk to the Lord about other things going on in my life and in my family, I get that same thing. And I'm like, sometimes it just gets overwhelming. And I'm like, man, I need some encouragement. And I'm talking to the Lord and I'm like, thank you for showing me all this. I'm really getting really encouraged, Lord. This is really helping me, Lord. You got that sarcastic thought going on. But listen, even though Peter wavered, when he walked on water. When you read that, Peter wavered. Peter got out of the boat, was walking on water, but then he wavered. He hesitated. He's like, wait a minute, am I really doing this? Is that really Jesus? And we always look at it. Of course, he took his eye off of Jesus and he saw the waves, boisterous. But yet he wavered. Even though Peter denied the Lord three times, after saying, Lord, I'll go to prison for you. I'll die for you. And I got to hand it to him. He pulled out a sword and cut a guy's ear off. That's pretty brave. So I'm not going to get on him too bad. But even though he denied him three times, didn't believe he had risen. Run down to the grave, and I told you something the other day. I got to correct this. I told you John went in. John didn't go in the tomb like Peter did. Peter went in. John beat him there. He gets there, and Peter just bypasses right on in the tomb. The Bible says John looked over in there and believed. By the way, John did not die a martyr. He died an old man. All the rest of them, they all died martyrs. That'll tell you something. But Peter went in and he's like, oh man, this is messed up. But even though he did that, even though after all of this that went on and right before this occasion that we're reading about, Peter had just decided, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm going fishing. He was going to go back to being a fisherman. Even though Peter done all that, Jesus still loved him. Amen, Pastor. Jesus still loved him. Oh, we're starting to wake up. Thomas. Thomas said, unless I see him and touch him, I ain't believing. But Jesus still loved him. Amen. Oh, it's getting better. The women, Mary Magdalene, Mary Joanna, all these women that followed Jesus. What did they do the first day of the week after Jesus had died? They all headed down to the tomb to what? Anoint a body. Listen, they shouldn't have been going down there. They should have been sitting at home. They were wasting time going to that tomb. Because they weren't going down there to say, see, I told you he'd be gone. They were going down there to look at him, anointed again, and with spices and all of this stuff. They did not believe, but guess what? Jesus still loved them. Yeah. And I was like, oh, now, Lord, this is encouraging. I'm starting to feel better about things, you know. And this song pops in my head, and I was going to play it this morning, but I'm not going to. But in this song, it says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries hallelujah. Thank you for the victory. And I'm sitting there like, you know, he is good. Jesus is, his goodness is way beyond what I can even imagine. But yet, we still waver. We still doubt. He says, God will supply all my needs. He does. I got up this morning breathing. And we don't even think about that. But I got up this morning, and I just went on and got my shower. But he supplied the water. He kept me going the whole time. You see, I've been a castaway, or I should say it this way. I've been on that side where I was an outcast. And I thought getting saved would change all that. Brother John, it made it worse. you know, when I was dealing with drugs and drinking and acting a fool, I was an outcast with family and with friends. And those that hung with me, they were only there for a certain purpose. but then when I got saved and later in years when I surrendered to preach, I was still an outcast with my family, part of it, with friends. I had some of them won't even hang around me anymore. It's like, well, you know, he's one of them Bible thumpers. He's a goody two-shoes. But you know what? When I was a sinner and when I was hesitant to believe that this Jesus really died on a cross for my sins and is set down on the right hand of God, when I was hesitant to believe that, he still loved me. We went back downhill again. Listen, you ever been lonely? You got people with you, but you're lonely. Think about this. He's always with you. Listen, Jesus is your closest friend. He'll be there when nobody else will. When your children And they do. They look at you like, you're stupid. And don't say you hadn't done that to your parents, because I have. I thought, my dad got to be the dumbest man on the face of this earth. He ain't no smarter than a chicken. But guess what? The older I got, smarter he got. Because all that stuff he'd been trying to tell me started coming true. Kyle, it's coming. I'm going to be honest with you. You're going to figure out Dad wasn't just joking. And listen, amen, we got one then. But I got excited about it because, listen, he's my closest friend. He loves me more than she does. Listen, she almost worships me. Almost. Yeah, almost. That's only good in horseshoes and hand grenades. I still hadn't convinced her to call me Lord like Sarah did Abraham, but nonetheless, no, she loves me with all her heart. If she didn't, we wouldn't have celebrated 44 years last Monday. I know she loves me, but Jesus loves me more than she could ever even imagine of loving me. And that's exciting. Listen, he walks and talks with me when I'm in the right heart with Jesus and I've got that relationship going strong. He's right there with me, and I know he is. And that excites me, and it lifts me up, and it makes me feel good. You know, when we go through storms, when we're sick, when we're in pain, when you think Jesus has lost control of it all, hey, you can count on God. He will supply all your needs, and he loves you. Who else do you know that he gave his life for you? You and everybody else. Who else do you know that can change your life the way Jesus has changed your life? I don't know anybody that can do it, to be honest with you. Even when we waver, we hesitate to believe that he'll be there for us. Because there's been times in my life I'm like, I just don't know. Even when we waver through all of those things, he still loves us and he's there with us. Amen. You know, maybe you're here today. Maybe you're doubting. Maybe you're doubting Jesus that he can really carry through what you really need. I'm going to tell you something. He loves you. Whether you're doubting him or not. You might be the person in here that's got the strongest faith there is. He loves you. But you also may be the person in here that's got the weakest faith there is. He loves you. And he says he'll be there for us. Maybe you're in a perplexed situation over something. Maybe the Lord's laid it on your heart that this is what I want you to do. And you're like, do I? You know, in 1996, the Lord laid it on my heart. He said, I want you to preach the gospel. I wavered with it. I had that doubt of waver. I'm like, no, you ain't talking to me. But I was also perplexed that he would look at someone like me and say, I want you to present the gospel to people. That perplexed me. That confused me. I'm like, why me? I even mentioned it to my wife. I said, you know, I don't know. The Lord may want me to preach. Sure. That's what she did. I'm not lying. She did. She's like, yeah, right. But you know what I did at that point? I backed up and I said, no, I'm confused here. I can't figure this out. Why would you want me to do that? Of course, 10 years later, I surrendered to it, and I'm glad I did. But maybe you're here. Maybe the Lord has asked you to do something special, to do something that's way over your comprehension and way above your abilities. Listen, I was a horseshoer, a cowboy, drove some trucks. I had framed metal studs and hung drywall. Shh, don't tell anybody that one. And because that's terrible stuff. I'd done a lot of things. I did not see myself, and I didn't like to read. I wouldn't even read the newspaper, the funnies. You know what I did? I looked at the pictures and threw it down. They don't have newspapers anymore, not much. Most kids don't even know what that is. Listen, every day I came in from school, when my dad would get home, first thing he did, sit down, cross his legs in the chair and read the newspaper. And then after that, he's going to watch the news. And I'm like, well, you just saw it. You just read about it. But he was a news fanatic. Got to watch it. But I didn't like to read. Did not like to really, I could do without being around people. I liked being around horses a whole lot more than I did people. And I'm like, I've read about Ananias. And the Lord come to him and said, you need to go see a guy that's over in town there in Damascus. His name's Saul. Lord, wait a minute. I ain't sure you realize who Saul is. We need to remember God knows everything, everybody, and he leads us in the directions we need to go. And that's what the Lord was doing with me. You know, for all I know, maybe you're here today and you're lost. You're like, I'm going to hell. No other way around it. I am lost. I've never trusted the Lord as my Savior. And I'm heading to hell. Guess what? Jesus loves you. That's the truth. He loves us right up to the day that it's all said and done and there's no turning back. Because the only unforgivable sin is the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. You know, I was speaking to someone about something. And I've talked to many people. And they'll say, well, I believe in Jesus. That's good. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. But the devils believe in Jesus. Listen, they know who. They fall down and worship him. They do. They fall at his feet and they're like, oh, Lord, don't do this to us. Leave us alone. We're not here to be judged yet. You know, they recognize who he is. They know he is the Son of God. They believe in him. But see, there's a difference in wording. Just like the word doubt, there's a difference in it. See, I believe in this chair. This chair right here, I believe in it. It's a chair. It's got four legs, got a back on it, got a seat on it. I believe in it. But it ain't doing me a bit of good. It don't do me any good. There it is. Believing in Jesus really isn't doing you much good. You're still going to bust hell wide open. But if I believe on this chair, you see, when you look up the word on, O-N, it means rest upon. It means putting yourself in it. You see, when I do this, I'm believing on this chair. This chair has given me rest. It's doing what it's supposed to do for me. And that's what believing on Jesus is. And I got to notice him when I read the Bible several different times. I'll use the word in, and I'm wrong for doing that. The Philippian jailer, I won't go through the whole story, but he comes in there, he falls down to Paul and Silas. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I shall be saved. That ain't what it says. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I shall be saved. You can believe in him, but you got to believe on him. You got to place your faith and trust totally upon Jesus. You can believe in that chair all day long, but it does not support you. It does not give you any rest until you place yourself on it. You see, when we believe on Jesus, that changes everything. Now it's almost like we're possession, we're one. Because I'm placing myself upon that chair. There's a big difference in it. I'm not going to say anybody in here is lost because I don't know your heart. God does. But you need to make sure. You need to examine yourself. Paul said examine yourself to make sure you're in the faith. In other words, think back and say, have I really trusted on Jesus? That's a big question we need to all ask ourselves. And Paul didn't say just do it one time. He said a man needs to examine himself, make sure he's in the faith. You see, Jesus loves all of us. He even loved them that hung him on the cross. They beat him. They spit on him. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'll go back to my song again. Because I love what it says. It says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus. When you think of the goodness of Jesus, it should make you have so much joy that it's got to come out somehow. It should come out and people should see Christ in your life. Because when you think of the goodness of Jesus, listen, without Jesus being risen from the dead, all of that on the cross would have been a waste of time. Those years he spent walking and talking with his apostles and doing miracles and then being beat and spit on and ridiculed and hung on a cross, that would have been a waste of time if he hadn't have come from the grave alive in victory. When we think of that goodness of Jesus, listen, we really seriously ought to shout, hallelujah, praise God. I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Listen, we ought to be the happiest people in the world. That we're still going to get a little depressed. We're humans. We're still going to waver a little bit. We're humans. But you can count on it. The goodness of Jesus, listen, he still loves you and he still loves me. Let's stand.